Feeding your child is one of the fundamental responsibilities of being a parent. But if your child has feeding difficulties or other issues surrounding what they can or will eat, every meal can feel like a daunting task. Dr. Mitchell Katz is the director of the Multidisciplinary Feeding Program at Chalk Children's and is joining us today to talk about that program and how it can give children and their caregivers the skills and tools needed to make mealtime a happy part of everyday life. This is the Chalk Children's Podcast. I'm your host, Caitlin White. Dr. Katz, give us a brief overview of what the feeding program at Chalk does.
The feeding program at Chalk is a special multidisciplinary program that works with children and families wherein the child is either dependent on tubes to be fed or is eating a inappropriate or age-inappropriate diet and is stuck where they are in their feeding development. And our mission is to advance the feedings in such a fashion that the child is able to eat a more age-appropriate diet. Basically, we're looking for the child to eat a hot dog.
Plain and simple. Patients in this program can have a range of medical and developmental difficulties. What are some issues that contribute to feeding problems?
Feeding is a developmental process. We don't think about that, but if you really think about a baby when they're born, they can't walk, they can't talk, they can't do a lot of things, and it's over the progression of weeks, months, and years, they develop the capacity to function as independent individuals. When a baby goes through significant and substantial medical interventions, particularly in the newborn or early phases of life, those interventions, those medical conditions can interfere, can impact, can delay the development, particularly with feeding. These children may be going to the operating room multiple times, may be extreme premature infants, may have other developmental issues that interfere with the progression of feeding, and they, in a sense, get stalled at where they are, or if a tube is necessarily placed because the child at that time is incapable of sustaining themselves orally for nutrition, they become dependent upon these devices for their nutrition. As that progresses and as those developmental windows are passed, children become aversive. They don't like to have food placed in their mouth. And it becomes a cycle of refusal, desperation by the parents, ineffective techniques, or just a child who just doesn't want it, isn't having it. And those children are the children that develop these very aggressive or very delayed feeding skills. And those children need help. The earlier the intervention, the better it is. But a lot of our children have seen those kind of medical conditions occur that precede their presentation to us.
When it's gotten to such a serious level, where do we start when building this new relationship with food?
The first is the earliest intervention, just to work on the mouth, to avoid the negative experiences. When children are going through medical procedures, a lot of negative things happen around their face. Tubes are placed, masks are placed, medications are used that change taste. All that are negative factors. And then only with aggressive early intervention by a trained feeding therapist can one at least modulate, can decrease the negative interactions that are occurring during those critical phases. That said, even in the best of hands, children become dependent on tubes or at least dependent on the breast of the bottle, but not making the advances to textures and to baby food and all that because they're so aversive. They just look at food and it's just not appealing.
When should a parent be concerned when their child is developing feeding problems? Like, what are some warning signs?
The first one is what's called dream feeding. If a baby will only take nourishment, will take the bottle or the breast, only when they're asleep, that is an immediate warning sign. I'm not talking about the baby who takes a nighttime bottle or a nighttime breastfeeding and starts when they're awake and then falls asleep in their feeding. It's the baby who refuses a bottle or refuses the breast when they're awake and will only successfully feed, can take ounces of formula or breast milk when they are asleep. That is a concern because the baby is not learning about feeding. In the older children, does a child sit at a table? Or is the child just running around the house, isn't sitting and attending to a meal? The child, again, is not learning proper eating behavior. That requires intervention to organize the meal time. Does the child require distraction to eat? This is a big one in this day and age of technology. Using screens to get the child to cooperate. Does the child only eat if they're watching a video? Is the child only eating when they're watching TV? Those kind of distractions, again, interfere with the child's concept of what it is to identify hunger, solve hunger, and feed themselves. The screens can, not always, and, you know, sometimes kids get it as a treat, but if that's a consistent pattern of way to nourish the child will only eat when there is a screen in front of them, then they actually don't know what they're doing. They need help. The family needs help. Another question is, who is feeding the child? Obviously, a seven-month-old baby is not going to feed themselves. But is it that the child will only eat when the child is in the second or third year of life, if a parent is or a caretaker is feeding them? That's a problem because the child is not learning the skills to feed themselves, to nourish themselves. Grazing is another issue. There are kids who are allowed to eat whenever. They'll be running around the house. They'll eat a little bit, then they'll go run around some more, and then they'll come back and they'll eat some more. And every half hour or every hour, they're eating a little bit. Well, what's happening is they're dealing with their immediate hunger. But if you really calculate what they're eating, they're not eating sufficiently. And that's not setting up for the proper behavior, the proper construction of a typical feeding pattern. That needs to be addressed. Because if, again, it goes back to sitting at the table. If you're running around grazing, you're not identifying hunger. And if you can't identify hunger, if the child can't identify hunger, then they are not going to be able to learn, when I'm hungry, I sit down, I eat a proper meal, and then I get up, and then I go play. Another issue is, does your child have other sensory issues? Does the child get upset or not want to be on grass or on sand? Do tags of clothing bother them? Those can be simple, identifiable indicators that there's some sensory issue going on, and that can translate into what's happening in the mouth. And those children may develop aversions, be afraid of textured foods in the mouth. Again, if a parent is seeing these kind of simple sensory warning signs, early intervention can deal with those and work with the child, and that will translate into better feeding and better transitions to more textured foods. Another thing in the negative is nutritional well-being. A chubby kid is not necessarily a nutritionally appropriate child. In other words, you can put calories on a child. They could be chunky, but they actually may not be well nourished because they may be missing micronutrients. So just looking at a child and saying, oh, my kid's fat, my kid's well weighted, he looks great, that is not translating into an adequate and a balanced diet and may need interventions or at least a discussion with somebody who could look at the diet, say, yeah, you're okay, or the baby's concentrating too much on calories but is not getting the micronutrients. Lastly, never, ever accept that's okay, they'll grow out of it. All too often, parents are told, don't worry about it, they'll outgrow it. But if you do nothing, nothing will change. And of everything I hear, that is the one thing that bothers me the most, because intervention, and sometimes just correcting the way the parents are thinking, just small changes early on could have significant and lasting effects that can avoid people like me and my group getting involved in children.
Dr. Katz, what got you into this work? You're so passionate about it.
It was brought to me by a couple of feeding therapists that there was an unmet need for treating these children who are tube dependent. And the fact that in our community, there was no resource to help children make the transition off of tube feedings, because that's where we started, to a more age-typical diet. So we met for a year, a group of us, to establish what we thought we needed to do. And then we started to develop this program. And it's a program that has been in development since its onset 15 years ago. And over time, when you look around and you see that this is an area that is so desperately needed, again, even for the parents who think their kids are picky eaters, to those who are truly struggling, parents need guidance. And that's kind of where the passion lies, is just to have people be comfortable with how to feed their children and to have a child be able to sit down and eat a hot dog and not be worried about it, to be able to go out to a meal, to be able to have fun at a mealtime and not worry about the next teaspoonful or forkful of food.
Feeding, you know, a child is such a basic way to provide. What would you say to parents who might be dealing with the more emotional side of these difficulties, you know, if they're feeling like almost a failure as a parent?
You hit on the word. There is one word. When we see kids with feeding problems, and this is not the royal we, this is the group we, the first word that I believe the parents are thinking about is failure. I am a failure as a parent. Feeding a child is one of the basic tenets of being a parent. And if I'm struggling to do that, whether real or perceived, I am a failure as a parent. Feeding your child is the same statement as loving your child. And when your child is struggling to eat, whether it be real, again, perceived, I am a failure. I don't love my child, or at least that's how the child is going to see me as the parent. Addressing those senses of failure, you're not a failure. The situation got out of control. The situation was beyond your control. So engaging the parent in a discussion, engaging the parent in the desire to make a change is the first and foremost thing that has to happen. The parents are part of the issue, but the parents are the key to the solution as well. And working with the parents, not just with the child, is critical. If you give therapy to the child, but the parents are not brought along as part of that therapy team, success is not going to be to the same degree. And it's not going to carry over at home.
Well, Dr. Katz, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. That was Dr. Mitchell Katz, the director of the Multidisciplinary Feeding Program at Chalk Children's. You can find out more about the feeding program online at chalk.org. That's chalk.org. If you enjoyed this podcast, find more like it in our podcast library, and be sure to give us a like and a follow if you do. This has been the Chalk Children's Podcast. I'm your host, Caitlin White. We'll catch you next time.